This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now, back to Frank Cusimano from the McBride & Son Home Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you until 12 o'clock. And it's our pleasure to welcome the new Hall of Famer of the NFL, Kurt Warner. Kurt, great to hear your voice. How are you?
I'm doing great, Frank. How are you?
Real good. Hey, set that scene up for us. Did your family surprise you and met you at the hotel the Hall of Fame announcement weekend?
They actually did. You know, every year since I've been working in television, I have to cover the Super Bowl. My two younger boys and my dad have met me on Saturday, and we go watch the game and kind of hang out together. So I knew they were coming, and my wife usually comes for a couple days. But the Friday of that week, my wife had arrived and said, hey, we're going to go meet some friends. So we head over to a little apartment over there, and we walk in, and all of my kids are there. And so I had no idea the rest of them were coming. What a great weekend, and obviously when I got knocked on Saturday that I was in the same, how special it was. But, big kudos to my wife. Incredible job keeping it a secret, and then surprising me, and the timing of it was perfect.
Awesome. You're kind of breaking up. Stay right where you are right there. We're getting a good signal right there. So you were surprised when your family came in. Were you surprised when you got the knock on the door, or did you get a heads up right before that you're in?
No, I no idea. Nothing beforehand. You know, you're sitting in that hotel room for a couple hours, just kind of waiting and going through a bunch of things in your head and wondering if you're going to get a phone call to let you know you didn't get in again, or you're going to get the knock on the door. But no indication whatsoever beforehand that I had made it or not made it. We were just kind of waiting. And that's the toughest part of the whole process, is when you get kind of sequestered into that room and everybody's just kind of looking, and you want to talk about other things and do other things, but everybody's mind is on whether you're going to get that knock or not.
And who was the first person, or who were the first couple of people that you texted or called?
Well, unfortunately, my mom wasn't able to be there with us. My dad was there, so she was the first person that I called was my mom, just to thank her for everything and let her know that the only reason that I was there is because of so many things that she did for me growing up, what she taught me and sacrifices she made. And then I got a chance to call my brothers and let them know. And that was really all the people that I called, you know, directly after. Obviously, they don't want you to tell a lot of people, but I had to call those people closest to me that weren't able to be there, that that were along for this entire ride, and thank them for their part in helping me get there.
And you texted Dick Vermeil. We had him on the radio. Then all of a sudden you see Vermeil with 70,000 people at the stadium when you're walking out. How about that?
Pretty incredible. Pretty amazing that I didn't get a chance to see him all week. Usually we cross paths Super Bowl week with him down there doing stuff and me doing stuff, but we didn't see each other. And as you said, you know, we went and enjoyed the game, and here we are walking out of the turnstiles with a whole bunch of people. And I look to my right, and who is it but Dick and Carol walking down? And we got a special moment and a big hug, and it was pretty incredible. But you know, not surprising. God seems to work in funny ways sometimes, and that was really a special moment because, you know, everybody there in St. Louis knows that without that guy's faith in me, there's no chance that I'm being inducted into the Hall of Fame. And so what a special individual and couple they are, and they mean so much to me. And so it was really cool to have that moment with them. Even though there was thousands of people walking around us, it felt like it was just the two of us there having a hug and sharing a moment.
You know, I know right in the middle of the MVP seasons and your great years, after interviewing you so many times, you were never surprised by your success. You always thought that if you got the shot, this would happen for you. But I don't think you ever envisioned the Hall of Fame, did you?
Well, man, there was definitely times growing up where you have that vision and you have that dream of being able to have that opportunity. But I can tell you they were few and far between once I actually made it, being that, you know, I didn't start my first game till I was 28. Some of the highs and lows along the way that, yeah, I always felt like when I played and when I had the opportunity to compete that I was as good as anybody that's ever played the game. But, you know, when your career shortened and the opportunities only come, you know, here and there throughout a career, you never really start to, you know, to even really consider that that could get you into the Hall of Fame. You know, but that's one of the things that I'm most proud of. And one of the things that I appreciate about the Hall of Fame is that, you know, so often we look at amount of time and, you know, we look at longevity and we think that is the standard for greatness. But what I loved about this year is myself and Terrell Davis were two guys that didn't get as many opportunities as everybody else. But what the voters recognized was that you can still have great impact and you can still show greatness in whatever time period that is. And I really appreciate that part of it because I think it speaks to a lot of different people that you don't have to just play. Turns it's just about what do you do with what you get. And that itself were garnered by, you know, by the voters saying, we appreciate the impact you had on the organization you were with and in the game as a whole, even though you may not have got the opportunities that that other people did.
Have you started to at least put in your head together some notes for the speech? Or are you too busy with the kids and your television responsibilities? Have you got kind of a general outline, at least in your head right now?
Yeah, I mean, I could go a little bit down on paper, you know, just some initial thoughts and trying to figure out how I'm going to do it. You know, they try to tell you it should be between 12 and 15 minutes. And, you know, as we all know, it's tough to break down your career and thank the people that you want to thank in a short period of time. So you try to, at least, you know, for me, I'm just kind of throwing out different things and different scenarios that I'd like to touch on and different people that I'd like to touch on. But just in the beginning stages, but yeah, starting to think about it, of course.
Now, I know it's going to be a hot topic on who you have actually be your presenter. Can you let our St. Louis audience know that at least I'm one of the people on the list that you're considering? I may not be your final choice, but I'm actually on the list, correct?
you made the long list, Frank, but I've cut down since then. So unfortunately, you're still not in consideration at this point. But you did make the long, long, long list, Frank, the long list.
We were talking about this the other day with Howard Balzer. In fact, yesterday on the radio, we laid down a $5 bet on who you would choose. I said Brenda, I think he said Martz, and then Alvin Reed, another columnist, said Dick Vermeil. Larry okay. Fitzgerald was in consideration, too. Are we getting warm, or are you narrowing it down there?
I'm not giving you any hints. Come on, you guys got to wait like everybody else until I make that decision. But, you know, I've got a good sense in my mind who it's going to be, but I haven't even actually talked to them and asked them yet. So I'm going to keep that under wraps until I talk to them and make sure that everything's a go before I let anybody in on that secret.
We were so thrilled in St. Louis that you went out of your way to mention our town when you got the news.
Well, I tell you what, I mean, you know, I'm not here without St. Louis. I'm not here without Arizona. And I know there's a lot of fans out there that, you know, keep tweeting me or saying things like, oh, man, I'm bummed that, you know, that the Cardinals are playing there or you're going in as a Cardinal. Well, I just want everybody to know I'm not going in as a Cardinal or as a Ram. I'm going in as part of both organizations, you know, and even the Giants, I'm thankful for that opportunity because without them, even that short period to my heart for all the people that came along for the ride, all the fans, the fan bases, specifically St. Louis, because that's where it all started. And so I know the team's in L.A. now, but, you know, as of now, I associate with the Rams, but that L.A. fan base, although they were along with us when I was in St. Louis, you know, my real special place in my heart is for those people in St. Louis because of what they did and how they supported not only us on the football field and came along with us for that ride, but how they supported me and my wife and my family off the field and some of the things that we wanted, you know, with the bigger picture and a bigger purpose in mind. So to everybody who's listening here in St. Louis, just know as I go into the Hall of Fame, all of those people come with me, and the city of St. Louis comes with me, because I am not where I am today. I'm not who I am today without the people of St. Louis.
And then a couple of minutes left with Kurt Warner. I was reading last night you continue to give away houses in the St. Louis area. I think you gave away two in December. That goes back to Brenda right after her parents passed away and you guys using the insurance money to buy a home and what it was like to be in that situation. Can you take me through that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, so much of what we do with our foundation is based on personal experience. And, you know, a lot of people look at, you know, where we're at now and kind of think this is how it's always been or, you know, everything's, you know, always great for those that find themselves sometimes at the top of the mountain. But we went through a lot of struggles. You know, the well-documented me working in a grocery store, and Brenda was on food stamps for a while. And, you know, I remember when we first got together, she was trying to make things work and bouncing around from apartment to apartment and just trying to figure out how to build a home for her two kids at the time. And yeah, the first home that either of us ever really had purchased, was the one we purchased together, you know, way back when I was playing arena football. And, you know, we always had kind of made this pact that if we ever got there, if God ever brought us to that point, we were going to use those experiences to try to help others. Especially in those key ways to be able to kind of step into a new life. And we always felt that home ownership was kind of something unique that built a unique confidence in Brenda and I and really helped us feel like we had a home. We had a place we could call home where our kids could grow up and we could create memories. And that's really where we started to jump into that. I mean, Warwick Dunn had actually started the program, but when we saw it, we thought, this is a perfect fit for who we are and where we've been. Now let's try to help others get that home ownership and develop what we call, you know, develop a home for their families and for their children. And so many of these families do great things just trying to get there that sometimes they just need a little help up. And that's what we're trying to do with that program.
I know you don't give away things to get blessings in return, but it is the part in the Bible in Malachi where God says, test me if I don't fill your barns, if you tithe. I mean, that thing is, I imagine you've been a strong believer in that. In fact, when you signed your first big contract in Macomb, we did a live interview with you and I asked you about tithing and you just received a $10 million contract and you said, absolutely. I won't hesitate.
Yeah, I mean, it is. You know, he's always told us to trust him in everything. And that's one of the areas, you know, is trust him with our finances. And, you know, I still remember one of the first prayers that I made way back when I was kind of taking this road with the Lord is just saying, God, just, I'm not asking for a lot of money. I'm just asking that you always give me an opportunity to work to take care of my family. I got no problem working. Just always present an opportunity for me to be able to take care of my wife and kids and what I need to. And, you know, I'll never forget that. And as he's blessed me, I wanted to turn around and bless other people because I believe that there will always be an opportunity for me there. You know, I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't, it may be working back in a grocery store at some point, but I believe and trust him that he's always going to have opportunities out there for me. And I think we've seen that, you know, those he can trust with little, he can trust with much. And I think those he can trust with finances, he continues to present opportunities to make finances. And so that's, you know, that's kind of what I've always believed and what I've always tried to apply to our situations. And what I've seen to this point is he continues to bless me financially, and I'm going to continue to give back and hopefully help bless others so they can do the same down the road when they find themselves in a similar situation to where I am.
All right, before we let you go, some quick no hedging questions. Here we go. One wide receiver to catch a ball in the clutch for Kurt Warner.
Frank, you know I can't do that. You got to tell me the route. What's the situation? They're all different, so I got something for any one of them, but they're all different, so I can't really answer that question.
All right. One offensive lineman to protect you. You can answer that.
Big O. Sure. No doubt.
One coach to diagram a game plan for you.
Mike Mars.
Who calls the shots at home, Brenda or yourself?
I'm going to hedge, but Brenda does. Come on. We all know the answer there.
How many boxes of Warner cereal do you still have?
One.
Didn't you complain because it was a little expensive at one time?
I don't know if it was my cereal was expensive, but just cereal in general. So after I signed my big contract, my wife, you know, especially sometimes she was pregnant and she would ask for a certain kind of cereal. And I'd always kind of get the knockoff brand because it was cheaper. And she's like, seriously, you can't spend $3.50? And I'm like, but we're saving a dollar here and it tastes the same, right? So, yes.
All right. Analyst on TV who you like to listen to during an NFL game.
Oh, wow. That's good. I love to listen to Al and Chris Collinsworth. I think they're great.
All right. We're constructing the perfect quarterback. Whose right arm do you take?
Oh, right arm. I take Aaron Rodgers' right arm. If I'm just looking for an actual arm, but there's so many more things that go into being a quarterback, but I'll take Aaron Rodgers' right arm.
Whose legs do you take? We're talking NFL history. You could take any quarterback in NFL history.
Oh, who's Michael Vick.
All right. Whose vision do you take?
Well, it depends. If it's vision before the snap, I'm taking Peyton Manning. Vision after the snap, I'll take mine.
Very nice. Whose courage do you take?
I'll take mine there, too.
Who do you choose for a two-minute drive?
I'll take Tom Brady.
If you worked out hard for a few weeks right now and you played one NFL game, what do you think your stats would be like if you had a good coordinator and good receivers?
Well, I mean, physically, I think I would be pretty good. The question is mentally, because I've been off so long. But if mentally I could get back and be in decent condition, I think I could have pretty good stats. I think I could put up 300.
All right, great. I love it. All right, football hero growing up?
Roger Staubach.
And finally, what will it mean in Canton in August to finally put on that gold Hall of Fame sport coat?
You know, I mean, I think it'll just mean for me that God's kind of, you know, put a stamp on the story. You know, that to me is what I'm looking forward to, is that I've always felt that, you know, awards and things like the gold jacket will never define me. But what I think is cool is I think it defines the story in a unique and very, very special way, is that so many people have always associated with my journey and how similar it is to what life is really about. So many people, you know, in our business go through a journey that people can't associate with. My story, they've always been able to associate with. And I think this is kind of a stamp on the end to let those people know that the sky is the limit. You can still reach the mountaintop no matter who tells you you can't, what your circumstances might look like at a particular time, that you can still find yourself at the mountaintop. And that, to me, when I am finally inducted, is the statement that I hope to make and the encouragement and inspiration I hope to give to all those people that have watched over the years or, you know, will maybe hear my story in the future.
Honored to have you on, sir. We will see you in Canton in August. Thanks so much for your time, Kurt.
Awesome. Thanks, Frank. Look forward to it.
All right. The great Kurt Warner joining us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Before we go to break, quick word about Lion's Choice. Last night at about 8:15, driving back from an event, going to Channel 5, was starved, went and had the big roast beef sandwich at Lion's Choice. Yeah, I didn't go with one of those little ones. I wanted maximum roast beef. It was seasoned to perfection. I got a little horseradish, put it on there, had some French fries and a Diet Coke. What a meal at Lion's Choice. If you're looking for a great place, they're celebrating their 50th year. There's 25 locations. There's no place like Lion's Choice. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll read some text. Coming up at 11, Andy Strickland.